How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about the, a whole bunch of things, but I wanted to start by talking about the anniversary. Last night was the 12th anniversary of the station here. Now, I've only been here for 3 years and a month or something like that. But nonetheless, last night was great. We had all kinds of people. I mean, I haven't been to all the anniversaries, but I've been to the last three, and this one is probably the best, I think. I mean, we had Jack Kellogg, we had Mary Ellen show up in the second hour. She had a prior engagement. We had Larry Barnett, we had Fran Vaughn, all kinds of people. Gabriel Ross Vanis, Aaron Brewer, lots of people. It was a good show. I enjoyed it, and, Sean, Terry, Linda, the whole gang here. We had Chad Clark, so on and so forth. Yeah, good night. The night did fly by. I did not think it was going to go so fast, but it did. And that's what you want in a show. Usually when the shows go by fast, they are good. We did have some calls this morning talking about how it was a good show, and we even had one caller say that we were right to say it was the best show, which... or the best, anniversary, I guess. But, nonetheless, I would have to agree. It was, at the very least, it was a fun show to be a part of. I told the story of how I joined the station, and, that whole thing. I sang PS-117, in honor of, George Kasotis. It was a nice night. Got to socialize with a lot of people, and, Oh, Kent Hollerin was here. I just keep thinking of people. Glenn was here also. I think I hit everybody, maybe. Bob Welsh. Yeah, loads of people. With that being said, it was a good night, and, thank Domino's for the pizza. We thank L&P for the cake, and so I guess with that being said, I did tell my favorite story, by the way. My favorite experience is, I didn't really know what to say. I mean, there's been a lot. WrestleMania was obviously pretty cool. We got to meet Lonnie Ali. I got to meet Ted Williams, which is kind of like a full circle moment. Ted Williams is sort of part of how I got on the station. I guess for those of you who don't know, quickly, one day I was tapping through Snapchat stories, and I came across one entitled "What Happened to Ted Williams, the Man with the Golden Voice?" So on and so went through the whole story. Homeless man picked up by the Columbus Dispatch. The Kraft mac and cheese deal, so on and so forth. And but it mentioned that he had announced he was going to run for governor and later president on Scott Spears Now. And I had left the bathroom. I was in the bathroom, by the way. I had left the bathroom, and I had gone to Scott, and I was like, Scott Spears Now. And he was like, yeah, that's my show. Yes, that did happen. And we talked about that for a while. I told him I was interested in, the radio business, I suppose. And he told me he'd let me know if something was needed. And primary night of 2023, I guess, happened, and I ended up at the Board of Elections, and it's been, the rest is history. I've been here ever since. Good stuff, though. I enjoy it. With that being said, it is time to move on to the less airy topics and discuss politics. So, this morning I brought it up, but, I guess for those of you who did not hear it, Elon Musk is the first trillionaire in the world after SpaceX, went public and had a, public stock offering. Now, Elon Musk does not have $1 trillion, per se. He's worth $1 trillion, so, like, if he sold everything he was worth, he'd be $1 trillion trillionaire, but net worth. But, nonetheless, it's the same concept. Billionaires don't have $1 billion in the bank, okay? But, I can, however, say that Elon Musk is a prime example of the collectivization of the wealth. Now look, I have nothing against people being rich. I've got nothing against a lot of people having a lot of money. But, something doesn't sit right with me when we have, billionaires and now trillionaires. We're on the way to having, you know, I mean, this is the first. I assume there's going to be a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, you know, unless we break up the monopolies. So there's that. You know, I think it's just kind of crazy, like I said, to have billionaires and trillionaires walking around when you know, the average person is making, you know, I think the average in the United States is $42,000 a year. Absurd. I mean, you know, CEOs make millions of dollars a year. Crazy. I don't know. It just seems to me that the world doesn't make a whole lot of sense when it comes to the distribution of wealth, but as it goes, I guess. But yeah, I guess, you know, I'll be polite. You know, congratulations to Elon Musk. I mean, $1 trillion, being worth $1 trillion is certainly a feat. I mean, you know, the average person, you know, myself included, I'm certainly nowhere near rich. You know, is probably not even going to get close to $1 million. The average person probably isn't going to get close to being, well, I don't know, you know, houses are worth a lot of money, I guess. But yeah, the average person isn't going to be anywhere near worth $1 million, probably, I think. I mean, I don't know for certain, but, I mean, you know, if you owned a house and a car, I mean, that's, I mean, depending on how big your house, you're at $500K best. I mean, like, I don't know. You got all of your belongings, I guess, but, I wouldn't think that the average person is anywhere near a net worth of $1 million. And we have trillionaires walking around. Well, a trillionaire. But we do have quite a few billionaires. $1 billion isn't that bad. You know, $1 billion's $1,000 million. I mean, $1 billion's a lot of money. But, you know, I mean, a trillion is 1,000 billions. So, like, mind-boggling amounts of money. Okay, mind-boggling amounts of money. I mean, I don't know what the entire... I mean, like, well, one second. Out of curiosity, I want to know what the U.S. debt is. I know that we make... the U.S. gross national debt as of currently is over $39.2 trillion. So there you go. Elon Musk could pay off a 40th of that himself. Now, you know, it won't. So, you know, I don't know. Anyways, $1 trillion is nuts. And by the way, now, sort of off topic here, but Elon Musk being a trillionaire is a perfect example of why we should definitely be taxing unrealized gains, okay? Because Elon Musk bought X, and now Elon Musk bought X for, you know, a stupid amount of money, and, he even tried to back out of the deal, but then the courts enforced it, and he had to buy it. He tried to buy Twitter for a stupid amount of money, and, well, not tried, he did buy Twitter, you know, that's why it's X now. Nonetheless, and, obviously he did not have that money on hand. He went to a whole bunch of people and said, hey, you know, lend me this money to buy Twitter. And basically, you know, they were like, yo, that's a lot of money. What are you putting up on this? How do we know we're going to get our return back? And he was like, you know, don't worry, I'll put up my stocks. So he put his stocks up as collateral for a loan. So let me get this straight. You can't tax it because unrealized gains are something you don't have. I can get behind that concept. You know, it makes sense. I can't tax you on something you haven't withdrawn yet, right? I mean, like, you haven't sold it, so you're not really making money off of it. It's just worth that, okay? It'd be like, you know, me taxing your income based on your house or something. It's just another thing you own, okay? But then you can't turn around. I mean, I guess people turn around and get loans with their house up, you know, for, like, you know, you take out a second mortgage on your house kind of thing. But I don't know. I would reckon we should just, houses are taxed. Look at that. I say we tax unrealized gains too. I don't think you can have it both ways. I don't think you say, you can't tax it because I don't actually have it, and then turn around and turn the you don't actually have it into enough money to buy, Twitter for billions of dollars. It's stupid. And, you know, something should be done about that, but people, I guess, are not a fan of that idea, and it just makes too much sense, I guess. Anyways, after rambling on about Elon Musk for probably like 6 minutes, moving on. A federal judge has agreed to extend the court-ordered block on the Trump administration's $1.8 billion, settlement for, I guess, you know, the people who claimed that they were wrongfully gone after by the government. I think it's called, like, the Anti-Weaponization Fund or something. I don't remember. Attorney General Todd Blanche has said that the government is doing away with the plans, but they weren't satisfied. The courts weren't satisfied with him saying they were going to do away with the plans. I guess they didn't feel he gave a strong enough assurance, and so you know they had to extend the block on that. And, yeah. So I guess the courts weren't assured by the fact that Todd Blanche said that the fund was dead and they were going to stop pursuing it. I honestly don't know if Donald Trump has, said anything either way. But, I could be wrong, but I do believe he has said that he's gonna stop pursuing it. So, there's that, hopefully. Hopefully I didn't, lie just now, but... Nonetheless, at the very least, the courts have extended it because they don't trust Todd Blanche, which is a fair statement to make. Now, once again, I've already said it once, and I'll say it again. There's no reason that we should be... Now, I don't know exactly who the $1.8 billion is going to, but I figure it's going to go to people like, you know, Rudy Giuliani. And Trump's other allies who faced consequences on behalf of... I guess not necessarily on behalf, but, you know, who faced consequences... Trump's basically helping his allies, you know. Trump's trying to help his friends. He's trying to pay back favors from the election. In my opinion, you know, I don't know this for certain. Now Todd Blanche being appointed to Attorney General, that one, you know, I mean, Todd Blanche is the one who defended Trump in, I don't know, one of the 60-some, I don't know, however many felonies he was facing, you know. 34-time convicted felon, by the way. Look at that, isn't that great? Nonetheless, I think making a fund to pay out people who were, quote-unquote, wrongfully, you know, attacked or whatever by the Justice Department, I don't know. It just seems pretty corrupt to me. And it's like, I don't know, like blatant corruption, too. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you believe that the Justice Department's corrupt and, you know, all kinds of backwards and going after people for no other reason than, I don't know, I guess they don't want you to run for office. Then, I guess political reasons is probably what they would say. But, you know, then I guess... Even then, you're not fixing anything. You're just paying yourself. So I don't know what it matters. Nonetheless, I mean, Todd Blanche is the Attorney General now. I'm sure he could do something. You're the president, or you being Donald Trump, the president. He could do something. I mean, he's got, you know, an iron grip over the Congress for some reason because they have no backbones. They could do something. And the only ones that are doing anything is the courts. And amen to them. They should keep on trucking along. But yes, so the block on the $1.8 billion fund has been put into. Now, at the White House on Sunday, the 14th, will be UFC 250. Now, they call it UFC 250 because of the, you know, the 250th anniversary. But the UFC does just kind of number their events. So, I don't really know which event this is, because, you know, they're on UFC, like, 300 and something. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to see if I couldn't figure it out real fast, but I don't know. But, yeah, so, it'll be interesting. That's for sure. So, by the way, the 14th is Flag Day, or, you know, the day in which we adopted the flag. So that's pretty cool. You know, love the Stars and Stripes, as it goes. But it is also Trump's birthday. And Trump is a big fan of the UFC. Scott says he owns part of the UFC. I was unaware of that. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, big fan of the UFC. He is, you know. So, there's that. It would seem to me that he has agreed to have the UFC fight on the White House lawn as a big old birthday gift to himself. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much they're paying for tickets. Apparently, they are paying for tickets. But I don't know. I just saw that it was invite only, so I guess you had to be invited to buy tickets. Which is, I don't know, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, as it goes, but if you are not one of the 4,000 people who were invited, or, I guess, bought tickets, I guess tickets are required. So, let me rephrase. Okay. So, yeah, 4,000 people are going to be, inside the lawn of the White House, watching the fight. Otherwise, if you want to watch the fight at, in D.C., you would have to go to, the UFC is hosting a UFC fan fest and watch party on the Ellipse. Now, I don't know what the Ellipse is, but probably like a mall or something, I guess. I don't know. Big building, I'd assume. It says, but tickets are required, and fans will have to pass through quote-unquote TSA-like screening. That is according to Tara McLeese. Special agent in charge of the Secret Service's Washington Field office. Also, you're not allowed to have drones, which makes sense. I figured you wouldn't be allowed to have drones in federal airspace. It seems like a security threat. Understandably so. I could see that. But yeah. So, there's that. They did say that they will have law enforcement drones, but just for the sake of simplicity, they said that if you are at the, I guess, event, and you see a drone, to point it out to the authorities. So good on them, I guess. Now, I don't know. I'm surprised that they're doing it. No, I understand, like I said, Donald Trump, big fan of the UFC, and, you know, owns part, you know, that whole thing. But the UFC is an indoor fighting league. This is going to be held outside. The UFC is, again, indoor fighting league. Much easier to secure an indoor building. Outdoor fighting ring on the White House lawn. I don't know. It just seems like it's an unnecessary security threat. Now, I don't think that anything's going to happen. I hope nothing's going to happen. But, you know, I don't know who's all going to be in attendance at the UFC fight. But, you know, it's at the White House. I don't think you should be putting on an event at the White House. It doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't bode well with me. I mean, I guess the you know, public isn't paying for any of it. I guess the public is paying for the security. Tax dollars are being spent on the security detail, I do believe. But besides the security, you know, Secret Service and, you know, things like that, the UFC is fronting all the costs. I guess the UFC and TKO Holdings, which is like their parent company, they also own like boxing and slap fighting and, I don't know, a whole bunch of combat sports. They own a lot. Yeah, also Joe Rogan, he's like one of the announcers of the UFC. He's been, I don't want to say in opposition to it, but he's not necessarily a fan. He's, you know, said publicly that he's concerned about security issues because, you know, you're going to have, you know, a whole bunch of people at the White House lawn and, you know, I don't know. It just, I guess in his mind, does not bode well for security. Which I'd agree. Again, at the White House, you are letting 4,000 people into the, invited, I guess. But nonetheless, invited into the lawn of the White House. And, I don't know. Secret Service are going to be on 12 that night. I'm sure of that. He's also said that, again, I mean, like I just mentioned, actually, the UFC is an indoor, like, they always fight indoors. The UFC 250 event is going to be more like a backyard brawl. Now, it's going to be heavily produced, you know, they got the whole, they call it the claw, I guess, the stadium thing they built. He said that, he thinks that the summer heat and humidity, production lights, and bugs will work on the fighters. Because, you know, it's the summer. It's going to be hot outside. It is humid. I mean, I don't know about in Washington, D.C., I guess, but here it's hot and humid. In D.C., apparently, according to Joe Rogan, I don't know what the weather's like in D.C., you know, he said it's going to be hot and humid, and because it's hot and humid, and I don't know, he called it swampy, I think, but because it's quote-unquote swampy, there's going to be a lot of bugs, and he thinks that the heat, the bugs, the production lights, you know, so on and so forth, are going to work on the dehydrating the fighters, and could create, you know, health risks, safety issues for the fighters. I mean, I tend to agree with that. I think that makes sense. I mean, they're not used to fighting outside. I don't really know how they change their training to do that. Maybe they're just sparring outside now. I really couldn't tell you. I'm interested to see how they handle the, you know, I guess the weather. But besides that, I guess it's going to be a UFC fight, so I don't know. But I think, by the way, they've spent something like $60 million on the claw in the stadium that they got going on there. The stage, ring, I don't really know what you want to call it. The venue they got there. I think that's all of it. Oh, by the way, the TKO Holdings, the parent company of the UFC, they have said that the, I don't know, I guess if it was the TKO or maybe it was the UFC. Nonetheless, this UFC event is projected to lose something like $30 million. And they just chalked the $30 million loss that they're, you know, mathing up to marketing. They just called it like a special marketing event. Maybe. I mean, it's certainly been talked about. I can say that much. It'll probably be one of the most watched fights of all time, I would assume. Maybe, I don't know. Boxing used to be an incredibly large thing. Boxing's kind of fallen through at this point. But yeah. So there is that. Sorry. All right. So, by the way, as I had mentioned previously, I'm going to butcher this name maybe. Abbas Aragachi. He is the, he's a foreign minister of Iran. He posted on Twitter that, quote, "The Islamabad Memorandum of Understanding has never been closer. Pending its finalization, the media should refrain from entering speculation about its content. In line with our responsible and transparent approach, all details will be shared with the public in due course." End quote. Trump later, I guess, screenshotted it and posted it on Truth Social. I guess because, you know, you had to hear it from Trump or it wasn't true. I suppose. But I'm surprised they came to a deal so quick after Trump earlier had said that something along the lines of that they were, like, dishonorable because they leaked fake terms of the peace deal. Now, I don't know what the terms that they claimed were leaked. Well, I don't know. I didn't look at it too much because I was gonna, I don't know. Anyways, I didn't really look into the claims that they faked it a whole lot from Trump, but earlier on today, but after him saying that it was dishonorable of them to release fake, leak fake peace Leak fake details. There you go. That works. Leak fake details about its, you know, what was in it. And, yeah. So, I don't know what's in this one, because they said that the last one was fake, apparently. I don't know. Iran didn't say it was fake. Trump said it was fake. And now both sides are saying that there is a deal, and that they have come to it. But up until, I guess, it's finalized, they're not going to tell anybody what the deal is. Yeah, I don't know. It's not exactly a very transparent system you got going on. You can just tell people after the fact. That's not really, I don't think, how transparency works. But I guess it depends on how transparent you're trying to be, I suppose. But, yeah, so the war with Iran may or may not be over soon. Within the week, I think they said. Which, you know, that'd be good, because I don't know when the World Cup starts. But the World Cup is coming up, you know, like, soon. Oh! It's actually live now. Okay. So the U.S. is currently playing Paraguay. We're beating Paraguay 3-1. I don't know how soccer works, because it's, I mean, the time's just going. Usually when you look at a sport, you know, there's like quarters and things, and time goes down. Time's going up. The game's been going on for 75 minutes and almost 30 seconds and counting. You know, I don't really know how that works. I don't know how long a soccer game is. But apparently the World Cup started today. Now, I don't know when Iran plays, but I do know Iran will be at the game. They play Group G, so the 15th. They play after the UFC fight, the day after the UFC fight. Like I said, Iran will be attending the World Cup, but because the United States did not let them build, I guess, like a training camp kind of thing on U.S. soil so they could stay here, train here, and play the games, they will be staying in Tijuana, Mexico would be, yeah, Mexico, which is, I guess, on the border, I suppose. And they will be flying out of Tijuana into the United States a day before the first match. And then after the first match, they will be flying immediately back to Tijuana to, I guess, strategize and train and, you know, do all that stuff. And then they will fly back 2 days before every match after. So I don't know how many matches they have, you know, two or three. I don't know. I really don't know how the World Cup works. But yeah, so they will fly in 1 day before the first match, 2 days after each of the following, and yeah. And then after each of those games, they're going to fly straight back to Mexico, Tijuana, and yeah, I don't know. It would seem to me that, I don't know. I would just think that flying into the United States, you know, I don't know how often they have to play, but flying into the United States that much sounds like it'll take a toll on the players. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. Maybe the flight really isn't all that bad. I don't know what the flight is from, you know, I think it's taking place in Los Angeles. So I don't know how bad the flight is from Tijuana to Los Angeles. But, yeah, so there's that. And, oh, maybe they'll just rotate players out more or something. I really couldn't tell you. I don't know anything about soccer. But I would figure you got to rotate players out more than everybody who doesn't have to fly a trillion times during the course of this tournament will. I mean, flights take tolls on players. I mean, this, you know, I assume that's why they're going to give people, you know, time to adjust. Like, you know, they're flying in a day and they're going to have a day to, you know, warm up and do whatever. Yeah, so there's that. Okay. Now, I will say, by the way, that if the United States does not win the World Cup, which I don't think they will, the United States tends to be pretty bad at soccer. If they don't win, I would like Iran to win. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, I told somebody that, and they got rather upset with me. It's not like I'm talking about the war. You know, anytime we're at war, I want to be on the winning side. I would, you know, as it goes. But this is soccer. There's really no, oh no, we lost. It doesn't matter. I don't care. It's just like when we lost to Venezuela in the Baseball World Classic. Venezuela beat us. I think it was 3-2, maybe. Nonetheless, we lost to Venezuela in the World Classic. You know, good on Venezuela. They were the underdogs. And boy, howdy, did they deserve it. It was after we took out Maduro and the whole nine. So, you know, I think they probably needed that for national morale. And I do believe they made the Venezuelans very happy. So, if the United States does not win, which, again, I don't think they will, because we tend to be not good at soccer, like I said, hopefully Iran wins. Now, I don't think they'll win. I mean, I don't know, maybe. Soccer just tends to be bigger in, like, I don't know, where is soccer big at? Europe? I mean, I know it's big in Europe, like Spain. Spain's really big into soccer. There you go, Spain. Spain's gonna win it all. Yeah. I don't know, couldn't tell you. I don't know anything about soccer, like I said. Also, it's not even like, I don't know. Anyways, it's hard to talk about a sport you don't know anything about, I guess. They're going to kick the ball into the net, and somebody's going to win, and that'll be that. But yes, I did mention, as for the, I guess, promo of this show, that the name of the, so, you know, how formerly the Trump Kennedy Center is now just the Kennedy Center once again, as the courts have, I guess, ordered the Kennedy Center to take the name, take Trump's name off the building. But as of today, the Trump's handpicked board, of course, you know, Trump's the Trump loyalists that he put in charge of the Kennedy Center have filed a last second request to put a pause on the order to remove the name, but a judge denied it, and so they. They started taking the name off the building today. I don't know if they ever finished, because when I was looking at the article, they had to stop because there was, like, rain and wind and thunderstorms. So, if the thunderstorms are over, they may or may not have started to take off the name again. But, you know, at this point, I would say they're not working on it. You know, it's almost 11 o'clock. So, you know, that's good. Oh, by the way, there was a picture attached to this article. The article I think I read was in The Guardian, but the Wall Street Journal had the, I think posted the story originally. Anyways, there was a picture in the Guardian article that had probably, I don't know, like 30 people or so, standing and watching the scaffolding being built on the way up to the Trump Kennedy Center title so they can take, you know, Trump off. And it just says that intermittently they cheered, which is good. And, you know, people in D.C. are happy to see Trump's name come off the Kennedy Center, which I can imagine. You know, I think living in D.C. would be terrible right now. I mean, you know, the dude in charge of D.C. is nuts. Now, I would assume they also have, like, you know, local government, but, you know, at the end of the day, the federal government is in your backyard. So, it's all gonna stem from there. Like I said earlier, I think the courts are probably carrying the country right now. Like, there have been so many things that the courts have had to shoot down. The Supreme Court being the worst court of all the courts, apparently, right now, which is mind-boggling. But, you know, that's what happens when loyalists get appointed to positions and they have no credentials. So, yeah, like I said earlier, once again, I hope the courts just keep on doing what they're doing. Praise the courts at this point in time. I hope the courts win every case that they have. And, federal courts are putting in the work. you know, I guess it. I guess the courts really only matter if the rulings get enforced. And Trump's attorney general has no interest in doing anything that has to do with Trump or Trump allies or anything of that sort. So there's that. Also, as of, I don't know, recently, Trump has asked Congress to symbolically remove, I guess, expunge his two impeachments. This is not possible, by the way. There's no way to remove them. That's why it has to be symbolic. You know, like, hey, you did so great this time that the last time you messed up, you remember those two times you really messed up? Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay, now... Okay, by the way, now, the Wall Street Journal, yes, did have the first interview because I got the quote from the Wall Street Journal. It should be done because... this is the Trump quote, by the way, as far as to why he should have the impeachments expunged. He said, it should be done because I did nothing wrong. It was a rigged deal. That's right. It was rigged. And Donald Trump did nothing wrong. He's a perfect man who never messes up and everybody else is wrong and he's always right because he's perfect. You know, obviously. But okay. I guess with that out of the way, let's take a second, okay, and realize how absurd this is, okay? Trump is the first president in the entire history, the only president, the only president in the entire history of the United States to be impeached two times. Twice, okay? Once, because it was an abuse of power, because he tried to pressure Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden during the election cycle by withholding funds while they were in the middle of an active war with Russia until they did so, which, by the way, once again, they did not. He failed. So he got in trouble for that because he was, you know, wrongfully using bureaucracy to run people off the race. You know, good on them there. By the way, you know, they said for abuse of power, you know, this is definitely, he's still definitely abusing power. So if you're going to hit him with abuse of power for this one, please, for the love of God, hit him with abuse of power for all of the second term. It's all been abuse of power. I mean, he literally, one of the first things he did in the first 100 days was try to strike birthright citizenship, literally in the Constitution. But, you know, whatever. We'll just skim right past that. And, the second one, sorry, I forgot where I was for a second. The second one being the January 6th insurrection, which, yes, I mean, I understand. There are people who tend to not think it was an insurrection. You know, I tend to think those people are wrong. It was definitely, in my opinion, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know, I guess the truth doesn't mean anything at this point anymore. It was an insurrection, and, you know, despite the impeachment, he got away with it, scot-free. The impeachment was a big old slap on the wrist, and it wasn't even really that. It was more like a light slap on the wrist. They just said, that was bad. And then they just, to be fair, I guess, he was already on the way out of office when it finished up. So they didn't, there was no real need to impeach him, because he had already, you know... left. He was already in the process of leaving. But, you know, again, slap on the wrist, nothing happened. I say, you know, we ought to just open up another one, do it all over again, and do it better this time, and actually convict him. There's no reason that they needed to, I don't know, like, overturn the... I don't really know how you would say that with an impeachment thing. I know it's conviction. But yeah. I see no reason why he needed to get off, be found innocent, I guess. I don't know. I see no reason why he shouldn't have been convicted in those two times. I really don't. So, I say it'd be pretty cool and pretty easy for us to just open back up an investigation via an impeachment and then remove Trump from office. You know... I mean, we already did it twice. I mean, we didn't remove him from office, but now would be the time to actually do something. But no, nobody even wants to worry about it. But With that being said, I guess we have about 7 minutes here if you would like to call in. I mean, I know I've taken up most of the time just kind of ranting at this point, but if you have anything you would like to add or anything you would like to talk about, doesn't even have to be anything that we've discussed here, do feel free to call in, 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. We've talked about the Musk being the first trillionaire and how collectivizing or the collectivization of the wealth is terrible, in my opinion. People got their own opinions on the whole collectivization of wealth. We talked about the extension of the blocking of Trump's the anti-weaponization fund, the $1.8 billion. We talked about UFC 250, which still I think is probably a terrible idea. We've talked about the potential end of the war in Iran with the Iranian foreign minister. Abbas Araghchi? I think I got that, maybe. Saying that, the details will come out once it's all been finalized, basically. Honestly, the story I'm most interested in, I don't want to say most interested, but one of the more interesting stories, I guess, one of the more interesting of the not so important stories, is the FIFA World Cup. I think it's FIFA World Cup. It might just be World Cup. I don't know. Again, nothing about soccer, but happening in the U.S. and Iran will be playing, but they have to fly in from Mexico for every match. Talked about the Kennedy Center. And Congress being asked to symbolically expunge his 2 impeachments. But, like I said, we do have about 5 minutes now left in the show, so if you have anything you'd like to say, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. Okay. I do have one last story here, but I don't think it's all that vital, because I think it's pretty good and well a foregone conclusion that it passes. But Section 702 of the Foreign Surveillance Act is set to expire soon. It was also set to expire under Joe Biden, but Joe Biden managed to get it renewed. It permits the U.S. intelligence community to collect a warrant the communications of foreigners overseas suspected of posing a national security threat. No warrant, they can just, listen to your conversations, I guess, that kind of thing. They can surveil you, if you live overseas for no reason. I mean, I don't know, maybe you have to have a reason, I don't know, but it says without a warrant. I figure if you have a reason, you could get a warrant, but, I guess that makes too much sense. And, so there's that. And, also, the same section, once again, Section 702, it also allows the government to capture the communications of American citizens and others in the U.S. when they are in contact with those targeted foreigners. Okay. Now, I'm sure that if you listen regularly, you've heard me talk about my dislike for government surveillance. I still am opposed to government surveillance. I don't think there's any reason that you should be able to surveil somebody without a warrant. If there's a reason to surveil somebody, you could probably get a warrant. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't think there's any reason for warrantless surveillance. As a matter of fact, to be fair, I do have it written down here. Like I said, to be fair, Biden did mention when he was going to get this renewed that... One second. There it is. Yes. It was about to expire during Biden's presidency, and he listed off many, instances in which the Section 702 helped prevent attacks or, operations on American soil, enemy operations on American soil. He listed, I only wrote down a couple because they were the ones in the article. It included an assassination plot on U.S. soil. I don't know on who. This article, I think, came from The Guardian as well. So there's that. But anyways, including an assassination attempt on U.S. soil, and it also contributed to a successful operation. Sorry. I should have written this so much better. Anyways, it helped stop an attack that would have been an assassination on U.S. soil, and also it contributed to a successful operation. I think it would be so much better if I said contributes. Contributes to successful operations. There you go. So much better. Anyways, such as the strike last year that killed Al-Qaeda leader Al-Zawahiri. Yeah. So, there's that. It has been used to stop attacks and, you know, to kill terrorists, I guess. But, you know, I still think that the government shouldn't be allowed to surveil people. I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer that freedom is not safe. If you want safety, then you might as well give up all your rights, you know, because then the government's in charge. It's like having parents all over again. Just, you know, a massive parent who, if you disobey them, they're going to lock you up forever. Yeah. Anyways, obviously I'm being dramatic there, but, you know, I do genuinely believe that government surveillance is terrible, and I think it's a slippery slope to, like I said, I mean, I'm sure many people have read 1984. It's a thing that you have to read in the school many times. But, I read it out of my own, you know, of my own volition, I guess. I went out of my way to read the book. It was not something I had to read in the school. But, you know, in 1984, they have TVs that have cameras, and TV has to be on at all times, and the camera's always watching you. You don't even know if there's somebody watching you through the camera, but the camera's always on. And you can be convicted of thought crime and a whole bunch of other stuff, and it would almost seem that that's where we're going with government surveillance. But, with that being said, the time is up, so I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful night. It is a beautiful night out there. Pretty warm. So, hope you enjoy that at 70 degrees. You can listen anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download the free TuneIn app and search WGH Talk, and we will be listed as WGH Talk, Marion, Ohio. So, I appreciate everybody for listening, like I said. We wouldn't do shows if it weren't for you guys. And, yeah. Good night. And, I don't know. Have a good night, and, enjoy. Hope you enjoyed.